And but their version of what happened is 100% completely different than yours. You know, matter of fact, you were both there, but really, it almost seems like a completely different story. Now, how does that happen? I mean, if you look, the word story, it's actually defined as a narrative of the events in the life of a person that may be true or false. True or false. See, I've learned that the stories that we remember, they tend to be, I guess you'd say, flavored or colored by our perceptions. Have you noticed that? Like, for example, I remember my wedding reception. Well, all right, the truth is, I don't really remember a lot from my wedding reception. Actually, this week on the 20th is me and my wife's 20th wedding anniversary. This week, yeah. So now, the interesting thing is that I remember that wedding reception. We were on the top floor of the tallest building in Tulsa. I remember that. And I remember that the only bit of food that I ate that whole reception was this little piece of cake that my wife placed inside, gently placed inside my mouth. It wasn't shoved in there. I appreciated that. And I remember dancing with my wife. I do. I remember I danced with my wife. I danced with my mom. I remember my mom and Sharon's mom doing the chicken dance. There's some memories you can't wash out. They're stuck. They're ingrained in there forever. I remember actually, the reception was over. I remember waiting for my wife to change. She went into the bathroom to change. I ran over to the buffet line. I am just stuffing as much food inside me. It's lukewarm. There wasn't much left, but I was starving. I didn't get any food. So I'm like eating as much as I possibly could. Honestly, that's all I remember. That's kind of sad, but I mean, I guarantee you, if you talk to my wife, she's downstairs. If you talk to my wife, she probably has a totally 100% different version of that story. You ask my mom and my dad, totally different version. Ask my brother and sister, totally different version of that story. But see, the stories of our life, they're unique to us, aren't they? You know? I mean, I've learned is that before we meet Jesus, we take control of our lives. And based on the decisions that we make, we write our story. We do. We write the story of our life. And look, how we remember those events or the big events, that's the chapters of our story. But see, I remember when I gave my life to Jesus and I said, no. Now on, you're not only are you the author of my story, you're the main character of my story. Well, see, that's different. That's life-defining. That completely changes how you live your life. Now, I've sat down to a number of different people, though, especially in the role that I'm in, and I've asked them about their story. For those who haven't given their life to Jesus, I don't usually hear a happy story. I hear some high moments, I hear some low moments, but usually when the story has ended, at least where they're at, they're always telling me that, but I'm missing something. There's something that still is missing that is just, it seems like that they can't put their finger on, I'm hungry for something. There's a purpose in my life that's just not there, and I don't know what it is. See, people, they're hungry for Jesus, and they don't know why. We have the opportunity to inject Jesus into their story, and it does. It changes their life forever. I mean, so far, we've looked at three different kind of different ways of doing that, right? So the first one we looked at is kind of serving people through gifts and through acts of service. I mean, basically, what this means is you love someone through either acts of service or a gift, and you're doing it intentionally, right? To point them to Jesus, not to you, because you can't save them, but you do these nice things so they will know that Jesus loves them. And by doing that, it sometimes will create an open door in their life. Now, other ways we've learned is through loving relationships, right? We learn to see people the way Jesus did. And so we love on them. We spend time with them. We're open life, right? Which means we allow them to see the real us. And then if you do that in someone's life, they allow you to see their real them. And it allows you to share your relationship with Jesus, with them. A And even last week, remember last week we talked about being willing and ready, it's got to be both, right? To answer the question why, right? Instead of being like argumentative, closed-minded, and fighting people, we instead want to speak truth in love to different people and help them. Remember we talked about getting the handholds and the footholds? So when life kind of throws a mountain at them, they have questions that won't allow them to move forward in God. But we're able to be there to answer the why and give them the ability to keep moving forward in God. Now, what I want to do, this is kind of our final sermon in the Change Your Story series. What I want to do this morning is I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in regards to evangelism. Now, the Bible is full of examples of people who utilize the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. Matter of fact, and it allowed them to become much more impactful in their attempts to try to share the gospel with people. And look, that shouldn't surprise us because we know that the reason why we were given the Holy Spirit according to the Bible was what? To be his witness. Matter of fact, let's read that. That's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, for those of you visiting, I tend to put the verses behind me, so you can follow along in your Bible if you'd like, or you can just read along behind us. Well, behind me, in front of you. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." But what you see here is that the Holy Spirit is power that's given to you to be a witness. And that witness is to show people the good news of Jesus, the gospel. Now, the power is not just for you. I love how it's broken down here into the people that really you're being sent to. The first thing he says is Jerusalem, right? Well, it was sent for those that are the closest to you. That was where they lived. It was in Jerusalem. So God said, all right, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. But then he didn't stop there. You know, just he didn't give you the Holy Spirit and the directive to witness to only the people that you were the closest to. He then said to Judea, which is a little further out. It wasn't in Jerusalem, but it was a little further away. So it was the people that you kind of knew. I mean, you may have at least known something about them. But he didn't even stop there either. Then he said Samaria. Now, for those of you who know the Bible, they did not like the people in Samaria. So what we're hearing is that the Holy Spirit was given to you to be a witness even for the people you don't even get along with. For the people that, I don't even like them. Yeah, well, that's the reason why you were given the Holy Spirit is to reach them. And then he didn't even stop there. So it's those that are closest to you, people that are kind of close, even the people you don't like, and even it said to the end of the earth. So people you don't even know yet. You have no relationship with them, yet God gave you the Holy Spirit to at least have the potential of being ready to reach those you haven't even met. And look, I know when I kind of start talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, different things are going to pop into different people depending on where you're from. I mean, to some of you, you come from a background where the Holy Spirit wasn't really talked about a lot. I mean, you know it's, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but that's about it. You never really, you know, understand how Holy Spirit works in people's lives. Now, to some of you, you've watched the power of the Holy Spirit. And matter of fact, not only that, or maybe you've heard stories about miracles and God moving in power. And, you know, it almost makes you wonder, could God ever do that in me? Could I ever move out in that? I mean, some of you are hungry for it. Some of you have been around the Holy Spirit and you understand, and not only have you seen it, but you're hungry for it. And if anything, you're like, God, more. I want more of that in my life. Matter of fact, God, anytime, anywhere, put it in me because I'm ready. Some of you, you know, whether you understand it or not, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you all the time. And he's really been like giving you direction and people and things. And the problem is that you're not recognizing that it's the voice of the Holy Spirit inside you. And so you're missing these opportunities. See, what we need to understand is the Holy Spirit is the power source. It's what allows us to step out in faith and try to share the gospel with people who've not made the decision to follow after Jesus. We're a witness. And that means we have to be willing to talk about the impact that Jesus had on our lives. That's what a witness does. A witness is there to say, this is what happened to me. This is what I saw. This is what I experienced. You're telling someone your experiences. So how does the Holy Spirit help us in sharing the good news? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit gives us power to do things that we can't do ourselves. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Matter of fact, they're called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but write down 1 Corinthians 12. Write it down. I'm going to read different, kind of a little snippet of it, but I want you to read the whole chapter later. This week, read it. So 1 Corinthians 12, let me read verses 4 through 7. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but they are all given by the same Spirit. They are different ways to serve, but they all come from the same Lord. They are different ways to work, but the same God makes it possible for all of us to have all those different things. The Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way. That is for the good of all. See, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are given access to different gifts. Matter of fact, you'll read at least nine of them in 1 Corinthians 12. And look, some of them include powerful gifts, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of faith. But these are not things that we can do in of ourselves. You can't do these things. You can't walk up to someone in your power and heal them. You can't. It's not possible. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us that gives us access to the power necessary to move in those gifts. Matter of fact, we read in Acts 5. This just kind of gives us a mini example. Acts 5, verses 12 through 16. Like I said, it'll be behind me. Acts 5, it says, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And even more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. See, here we see the Holy Spirit doing miracles through the hands of the apostles. But what was the fruit of those miracles? It wasn't so the people loved the apostles. It wasn't even really... necessarily for the healing of the person itself. The fruit of the miracle was more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. See, when we allow the Holy Spirit to use us to meet the needs of the people, people cannot deny the power of the Holy Spirit. We immediately point them to God. You cannot deny the power of the Holy Spirit. When he moves, it's him. It can't be you. Matter of fact, and also the Holy Spirit, this is number two, the Holy Spirit actually gives us knowledge and wisdom about someone that we don't even know. Matter of fact, some of the other gifts that you'll read in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about words of wisdom, words of knowledge, it talks about words of prophecy. And again, these are not things that you can do yourself. You can't just all of a sudden, it's not like you have ESP, and all of a sudden God's going to give you some knowledge about a person. It's the Holy Spirit that's inside of you that gives you these. Like, for example, how many of you ever have felt the Holy Spirit give you information about someone that you had no prior knowledge of before? Maybe you felt, you know, God asking you to pray for someone, you know, about a specific need, but you didn't know them at all. Or maybe God, have you ever met someone and then all of a sudden God put a verse in your heart? Or maybe like a word of encouragement, and you just felt like, I'm supposed to give this. This is not for me. This is for this specific person. How many of you have ever felt that? Or how many of you have ever felt God tell you about a need about somebody, and he wanted you to meet that need? It could have been financial. It could have been relational. It could have been maybe a healing in their body. But you just knew that there was something inside this person that you had to deal with, and you had to deal with it now. How many of you ever felt that? God, yes. See, and all these things come to you before prior knowledge. I mean, and some people, they're like, well, maybe these words were just coincidence. How many of you believe in coincidence? I sure don't. As a matter of fact, how many of you here would like to know kind of a great way of determining if it's the Holy Spirit? Okay. Well, see, when I feel that God is asking me to do something, when I feel the Holy Spirit inside of me is asking me to do something, I usually ask myself some questions. The first question I usually ask is, get these in order. Would God want me to do it? Would God actually want me to do this? Could I imagine God saying to me, Chris, do this? If I can actually imagine God doing to me, that's a good sign. If I can't imagine God saying to do that, that's probably not God, right? And then I kind of ask the reverse question. Would the devil want me to do this? Would Satan want me to do this to this person? If he's saying yeah, then I probably don't, that's probably not the Holy Spirit then, right? Probably not. I know that sounds kind of oversimplified, but look, there are some people who, because they hear something inside them, well, you know, I kind of felt this voice. Well, would God want you to do that? Well, no, but I heard the voice. Well, you know. Or another thing is, another question, would this open up an opportunity for me to share the gospel with them? Would this be building a bridge, or would this be building a wall? That's usually a good indication if that's the Holy Spirit talking. Or finally, just ask the question, would this person be blessed by what I'm going to do? Would I be leaving them where they'd be smiling? Or would I be leaving with them with the, get out of here? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Now, I'm gonna give you an example how this kind of happened in my life. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Now, for some of you who weren't here for the whole story, I'm sorry. But I'll try to catch you up a little bit. But about a couple weeks ago, we had an event that happened in Middletown at our public library. It was called Drag Queen Storytelling. And basically, the premise of this was from 11 to 12 o'clock at our local library. They had a gentleman who came in. He dressed up as a lady, basically a princess, in full drag. And his goal was to read stories to a bunch. They said this was for 5 to 8-year-olds. And so it was a story time. And if you read on their invitation, the reason was is because they wanted to give the 5 to 8-year-olds some strong, queer, gay role models so they can have some to look up to. And they also wanted to help deal with the gender fluidity that happens for the 5 to 8-year-olds, because in their opinion, your gender isn't decided yet. So they wanted to help them decide what their gender should be. Now, as soon as I read that, there was a voice inside me that said, call that library now. Now, so I did. Called the library. You know what? I'm so glad the Holy Spirit loves me, because it went to voicemail. I'm glad. Because you know what? What I was about to say, I can promise you God would not have wanted me to say it. I can promise you what I was about to say, the devil wanted me to say it. He wanted me to burn that bridge. He wanted me to yell. He wanted me to get indignant. He wanted me to tell them how bad and evil and that they were. He wanted that to happen. I can promise you, like I said, question three was, would it have opened a door for me to share the gospel? No, it wouldn't. I can guarantee it would have come out of my mouth right there. Would not have been an open door to share the gospel with them. And finally, would they have felt blessed by me at the end of that conversation? No, they wouldn't have. No, they wouldn't have. So you know what? I'm really glad that it rolled to voicemail, because what it allowed me to do is to sit and pray. It allowed me to really hear the voice of God. And when the nice director of family and children called me back, I had a very different conversation with her. Really did. And you know what? I built a bridge. And you know what? I now have an open door talk to her, because she was kind of shocked that a pastor would talk to her about these types of issues in the way that I talked to her about. So you know what? I am now looking forward to my next time that I talk to the director of children and family at the library, because I now have the ability to speak life into someone. There's a bridge there. So I'm learning that God likes me to bless people. Have you noticed that? God, matter of fact, and I've learned the devil does not want me to bless people. The devil wants me to burn as many bridges with people as I possibly can. God wants me to look for ways to share the gospel. The devil wants me to do things that are going to stop my ability to share the gospel. Have you noticed that in your life as well? See, I need to learn to step out in faith more often and stop missing these opportunities to share the gospel with people who don't know. See, I think that we have many chances to change the story in people's lives, more than we really realize. And if we would just stop overthinking things, stop allowing, you know, us to talk ourselves out of sharing the gospel, the results we would see would be life-defining, not only for you, but also in the lives of the person you're talking to. Because number three, the Holy Spirit actually gives us the courage that we don't normally have under certain circumstances. Have you noticed that? That sometimes when the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you, that if you're willing to be obedient and step out, he gives you the ability to do things that you never thought would be possible. Matter of fact, I've been interested in watching how God's been doing this in my family as we've been kind of trying to step out in faith and try to just obey the voice of God and take every opportunity that God brings our way to share the gospel. That's what the Holy Spirit's inside you for. It's the power to be his witness. Now, I love this verse in 2 Timothy 1:7. I just love it. In the Message version, it just kind of reads it a little different. It says, God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold and loving and sensible. You know what? We are way too shy with the gifts that God puts inside us. But I love how he says it, though. He goes, I want you to be bold about it, but I want you to be loving, because love is patient, love is kind, you know what I mean? Love, there's gentleness and other things involved. And it's sensible, which means it fits the right situation. You're not forcing it, but you're taking the opportunities as they come, and you're doing it in the best way you know possible. I remember, it was either Monday or Tuesday this week, we went to the 99 restaurant. And it was all of us except for, I think, Aaron, you were at work, right? So the five of us were there. We were at the 99 restaurant, and we have a challenge now. The challenge in our family is whoever is the first person who can inject Jesus in the story with that waiter or waitress, I buy him dessert. And that includes me. I'm in the deal. So if I get it out first, if I'm able to share the gospel first, I get it. And they know that. And so we get there, and Jonathan's like, give me a card. I'm going to do this. He's like, I'm all over this. And it was a guy waiter, and so he's like, oh, I totally got this. Because the guys get a little nervous when it's kind of a cute waitress. You know, the guys, all of a sudden, they can't do it. They feel a little, you know, clammed up. I don't know why, but, you know. So it's going on, and Jonathan's like, it's funny. The whole time we're there, whenever the waiter would come, Jonathan would either have like a mouthful of food, and this guy was like a quick one. He'd come and be like, everything okay? And he would like literally be going off the side. And so Jonathan would be like, and he would never be able to get anything out. And so he was getting so frustrated. And he's like, what am I going to do? I mean, and I'm trying to be encouraged because it's sensible. Buddy, you know, this may not be your opportunity to do this, you know? But the fact is that you want it. You're obedient. You're looking for the opportunities to share the gospel with someone. And so he finally came. He zipped in to like, I think he was, the check's already been paid. And so there's one last chance. And so my dad dove in. So I was like, all right. So I was like, you know, hey, what was the guy's name again? Devin. I was like, Devin, you know, is there something, you know, you did a great job serving our food. I finally got the guy to stand still because he was literally all over the place. You did a great job serving a table. You were quick. You're attentive. You did a good job. I said, you know what? I want to bless you. I said, you know, is there something that we could pray for in your life where that God, you know, if he could just do something, would you want that? He's like, yeah, I totally would want that. As a matter of fact, you know, my car's not been working well. I'm having financial issues. But you know, the funny thing is, in our minds, we're like, oh, this is not an opportunity, right? Because he's just bouncing all over the place. So in our minds, oh, well, I guess it wasn't a turn. And so we're doing that, and we finally get to pray for him. And then Jonathan jumps in, here's a card. This is where our church is. And we got to the car. I was like, buddy, that's still my dessert. Yeah. So we went right to Stu Leonard's, and we went there to buy a dessert. And so we went to the back, and I'm looking for, like, my favorite stuff. And I wanted Jonathan to come with me. So I brought Jonathan with me. So, you know, it's kind of weaselly, wasn't it? Bringing him inside. You know, but it's kind of cool, though. So we go inside, and we pick out the dessert. We're walking to the front, and we're in line to pay for it. And this gentleman comes running up to us. He goes, because the whole time we were in there, Jonathan was talking about how he loves the pistachio soft serve ice cream in there. I'm like, well, buddy, if you had gotten it in, I would be buying that for you. We're in line waiting to buy my food. And out of nowhere, this guy comes running up with a receipt saying, hey, I just want a free ice cream and I don't want it. Would you guys want this? And Jonathan's just like, no way. No, no. That's all he could say as I'm handing him the free ice cream. No way. And he walked back. He's got the ice cream in hand. No way. No way. See, we so often overthink God. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And the Holy Spirit inside you wants to come out. He wants to reach people. He will give you the courage necessary to be able to do it. Now, here, let me give you a quick example. See, I don't even know if I have the time to do that. Read later. I don't even have time for this. Read Acts chapter 8. It's got a great example of Philip in the Bible and just some of the miraculous things that he did. And I honestly don't have the time. And I want to give, I'm going to have a gentleman come up and give us a testimony. But let me give you some of the strengths and weaknesses of witnessing with the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Number one, I mean, obviously this is a pretty easy strength. It's undeniable. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something and you move in the power of the Holy Spirit, what are they going to say? Oh, that wasn't God? Oh, well, God told me to pray for your back and your back is sore. I don't know you and your back is in pain. What are they going to say? Well, that's just a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. They cannot deny the power. And you know what? It's not the results. You're driven and you are just encouraged by your obedience. You're willing to step out in faith. Because you know what? All God asks you to do is to be obedient. It's His job to do the power because you can't do it anyway. So if God wants to heal that person, woohoo! I mean, it's an easy thing to say, all right, let's talk about the God who did that. And even if that doesn't happen, you've opened a door to allow you to speak the word of life into them that was never there before. So you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit inside you and obey what He asks you to do. It could be a word of encouragement. Pastor, that's not a word of healing. Doesn't matter. What? A word of encouragement could be a mental healing and an emotional healing to that person that may be hurting a lot worse than a bum ankle or a bum knee. Obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, the more you use this, the more that you're willing to listen to the Holy Spirit inside you and step out in faith, the more courageous you'll become in doing it because you'll become comfortable. Look, it's just like learning about anyone. When you learn more about how the Holy Spirit works in your life, you'll be more willing to step out in faith to do what He asks you to do. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, it validates the gospel message. You cannot deny the power. You can't. See, look, we are just not willing to step out in faith because we don't believe that He's going to do it. The reason why that people are scared to pray for people is because you don't really believe that God's going to heal them. Or when God gives you a word for them, you're like, well, God, what if that word isn't for them? So we so often stop the Holy Spirit from moving in power in people's life because we're afraid. And that's really the weakness, is that we fear so many things. We fear, what if I heard wrong? What if God doesn't show up and do His part? That's not your job. Your job is to walk in obedience. Your job is to say, God, I have faith to believe that if I will do what You ask me to do, You will move in power. You will move in love. Because you don't know. How many miracles have not happened just because we weren't willing to step out in faith and do what God asks us to do? Now, one weakness, though, is that some people will end up seeking the gift and not the giver of the gift. And that happens. Parents, you understand that, right? You know, they want to rip open all the presents, and they forgot the fact that it was mom and dad who actually bought them all those presents. So, look, that can sometimes happen if we don't present what we're doing as Yes, the power of the Holy Spirit attracts people, but it's the word of God that changes lives. It's the fact that Jesus died on a cross for them. So you know what? You don't want them to leave feeling with a better back or feeling better emotionally, but you haven't taken it to the next step and said, now, can I talk to you about why I wanted to pray for you? Can I talk about, you know, who gave me that word of encouragement for you? You know, have you made the decision? Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to be able to take it all the way to the end because, look, they'll be very happy if their back feels better, but their eternity still hasn't changed. Look, you may have given them a word of encouragement that makes their heart feel better, but they're still dying and going to hell. So we have to take it beyond just, I want you to feel good, and I want to feel good because I was obedient. No, all the way, all the way. Now, this morning, I want to call up Charlie. You're going to give a testimony, right?
Good morning, church family.
Morning.
I think the butterflies have flew away. My hands aren't sweaty. So I think, like Pastor said, the Holy Spirit is in me, and he's calming me down. So I want to share about a testimony that happened right before Easter. It was actually a few days before Easter. We were at home getting things ready for having family over for Easter. And even though Easter is like my favorite holiday, it's really nerve-wracking trying to get things in order and get the house clean. Everybody knows that. I wasn't doing very well as a dad, as a husband. And I was getting very irritable. Didn't handle as well as I thought. So my lovely wife suggested that I go get some fresh air and go skateboard. That's my sport of choice. I like to go out and go to the skate park and just skate around. I really didn't want to leave her with all the things to do at the house, but she looked me straight in the eyes and says, I think you should. So happy wife, happy life. She got me in the car and I grabbed my board and went down there. The whole way down there, just kind of talking to God. Not with my eyes closed or anything because I was driving, but I was just talking to him because I wanted to make sure what I was doing was right. I didn't want to leave my family or feel like I'm being selfish and taking time to myself. But God told me, you know, I have you doing this for a reason. You don't know it yet, but you're doing it for a reason. So I get down to the park, which is maybe about 3 miles away from my house. And there's a group full of kids at the skate park. About three guys, probably in the high school senior age range. And I usually don't like to skate the skate park when there's a lot of people, and it's a small skate park in Middlefield, so I go there anyways. So I grab my board out of my car and I go to the skate park, and I notice these three guys just looking at me, and you know, so I try not to make it feel so awkward, and I just grab my skateboard and start just cruising around the park. One of the kids came up to me and they're like, hey, OG. And if you guys don't know what OG means, it's like old guy or, you know. They're like, you can't skate here, bro. And we're like, oh, how come I can't skate here? I was like, it's our park. So I chuckle a little bit and I keep going skating. I'm like, it's all right, I'll go skate. So I skate around and then they ask me, hey, OG, you live around here? I'm like, yeah, I live pretty close. They're like, you got a job? So, yeah, I got a good job. It's right up the road, too. They're asking me a bunch of random questions. I don't know, just poking fun or just to start a conversation. And, sorry, now a little nerves are kicking in. But so I just keep skating around, and these guys are, you know, cracking little jokes and stuff like that. Start to feel a little bit more comfortable skating around with these kids. But I noticed that they were doing something wrong over at one of the parts at the skate park. I used to have an incredible vice for marijuana, and that's what I used to do every day. At the time I thought it helped with a lot of things. Now being a dad, being a husband, being a big brother, I noticed that it, you know, cripples my walk with God. Back a few years ago, I probably would have sat right next to him and say, hey, you know. But when I was skating, they had asked me, they're like, hey, OG, you want to smoke some weed? And I was like, no, I don't do that stuff anymore, guys. You know, and right then I felt very uncomfortable. I wanted to get my board and get my car and kind of just leave the situation. That's what I was taught in one of my Celebrate Recovery groups. Was you avoid the situation, get out, you know, save yourself. So I go start walking to my skateboard, and I go to pick it up, and I see the kids get up, and they start walking away. And I'm sorry if I'm messing up, but they started walking away, and then to go behind one of the porta potties there. I don't know, to smoke probably. When your addiction can make you do embarrassing things. And this kid Jeremy, because I was the whole time I was talking about what God's done in my life. I'm clean now. I'm happy now. I'm not depressed. I don't have anxiety. I don't numb out. I don't avoid people or conversations. I embrace it. I actually know what real love is now. I know what real forgiveness is. I know how to push myself because I know he believes in me. And Jeremy, he could have walked with those two kids and walked over there with his buddies, because telling you a few years ago, that's what I would have done. You go where you feel comfortable, you know? But he walked up to me and he goes, "Hey, OG." I said, you can call me Charlie. You don't call me OG. I'm 33. I'm not that old. He said, "Hey, Charlie, how do I do it?" And I said, "Jeremy." He's like, "How do you do what?" He's like, "How do I do what you do? How do you give to God?" And my mom's been talking to me about that. She wants me to go to Easter service. And I got a problem with drugs. I got a problem. I don't go to school. And he's just got a whole list full of things he's hurting through. So, I tell him, I was like, "Bro, all you got to do is just close your eyes and just give your heart to God. You know, believe that he died on the cross for you and that he rose again. And that from now, from this day forward, that you're just going to walk hand in hand with him." It's like the poem Footprints. You know, let him carry you. That's what he wants to do. He's your dad. You listen to him. And so we sat there at the skate park for a few minutes. I knew him kind of looking over his shoulders because, you know, society, it's kind of a little judgmental. So he's looking at what his buddies are doing. And after we pray together and I pray for him, I said, "You know, you got two choices, bro. You can either, as soon as I leave, you can go hang out with your buddies and, you know, forget about what we just prayed about. Or after I leave, you know, you can take what we prayed about serious and make changes in your life, for not just for your mom's sake, for your sake." So I gave him a bit, we talked and we said our goodbyes. I started walking to my car. I was very nervous at the time because I'm sociable, but for me to pray over somebody is very hard. I was like, "God, I hope I did what I did was right, you know?" And then I felt this tap on my shoulders. And I turned around, it was Jeremy, and he gave me a hug. He says, "Hey, Charlie." I said, "Yeah, what's up, Jeremy?" He's like, "Can I have your number?" I said, "Of course, bro." So we switched numbers, and till this day, it's been a few months, he texts me during the week, daily, school time. He's going to school, and he's saying thank you so much because he's trying to do what he needs to do, what God wants him to do in his life. Amen. Thank you.
See, some of you may be like, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor, he didn't where is the power of the Holy Spirit in that one? I mean, he didn't perform a miracle. He didn't walk up to him and prophesy. He didn't lay hands on him and say, 'Be thou healed.' He didn't do any of that stuff." So, but the truth is, no matter what your preferred evangelism style is, you better have it wrapped in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he didn't even want to go. And you know what? You're right. You're taught after Celebrate Recovery, if you see it, get out of there as fast as you possibly can. I mean, so you have to be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit inside you, who's going to say and what and don't and move and... And you better be willing to listen to hear what he's going to say. So, look, the Holy Spirit is a gift that God gives us. It is. That Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. The Holy Spirit's power is not for you. It's so you will have the ability to reach people with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're just doing it because of, oh, it's power, or it's cool, or look what it can do in my life, it has nothing to do with you. It's what you can do for other people through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you know what? After every service, I've kind of given you more tools for your toolbox, right? Well, today I want to give you probably the most powerful tool that you could possibly get. See, there's a number of you who probably have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You've received that in your life, and it's now active, and you're using it, and you hear, and you follow, and you obey. Some of you may have received the power of the Holy Spirit. You may have received the baptism, but you laid it aside. It's not in use. You're not using it in your daily life. And I can tell you, you can do that. You can literally lay something aside and you're not listening anymore. You're just not following what God has asked you to do. Some of you, you may have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's vital for you to have that power in your life to give you what you need to be his witness. Because you need his wisdom. You need his knowledge. And you need the power. Because without the power, who cares? There's a lot of self-help groups out there that will give you ways. There's a lot of good medicines out there that have ways of dealing with issues. But look, Holy Spirit, undeniable. You need that in your life. So I want to end this service with the toolbox of all toolboxes. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, for some of you, you may not even understand completely what that means because you have not surrendered your life to Jesus. So I get that. So you know what? I want to do a lot of different prayer requests this morning, a lot of different things that I want to pray about. First thing I want to pray about is there may be some of you here that have not surrendered your life to Jesus. If you've not given your life to Jesus, and like I said, that's not me saying, all right, I said this simple prayer and now I'm magically going to heaven someday. No, what I'm saying is that you have chosen in your life to give your life to Jesus, and you're going to follow and do whatever he asks you to do. That's very different than just saying, Jesus, forgive me. All right, now I'll just keep moving on. Do you understand the difference? It's a surrender and follow. It's not a please save me. Woo, I feel better now. Big difference, right? All right, so why don't you stand with me this morning? We have